Get your Bibles out this morning. Oh, y'all can do better than that. Get your Bibles out this morning. There we go. Praise God. I'm so glad everybody's here. I want to welcome everybody to Living Waters Church this morning. I'm glad you came out this morning on a Easter Sunday morning. Praise God. Now, you know, if you were up the early service at 7:30 at Vanderpool, you know, we had a new experience this time. It's the first time it's rained on us. Usually it's either a hot, it's either so hot you can't stand it, or it's so freezing cold, or the wind's blowing 900 miles an hour. This morning, praise God, we got to see some rain. So, I mean, I'm excited about any kind of moisture. Amen? So anyway, I want to share a message with you this morning. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 9. I'm glad everybody is here this morning service. But you know, we're living in a world right now that's a little crazy. A lot of things are going on. A lot of things are taking place. And, you know, Jesus, when he came to this earth, when God the Father sent him to earth, he sent him to earth with a plan and a purpose. Jesus just didn't come on the face of the earth and just said one day, you know, I think I'll die for the world. He came with a plan and a purpose. He knew what was going on. I want you to know God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. It doesn't make any difference how old you are right now, or how many years you think you've missed, or you hadn't even got started, or you don't know what you want to do. Let me tell you what, God, though, has a plan and a purpose for your life right now today, each and every one of you. And that plan and purpose, when you walk in that plan and that purpose of life, you're going to find the greatest days of your life. So many times that the world wants to portray that they have the answer. And I want y'all to understand something. The world, the secular world, does not have the answer for your life and your happiness and your joy and your peace. I don't care if we're in the greatest economic times right now or the worst economic times right now. Washington does not have the answer to make you happy. The answer to your happiness, the answer to your joy is all found right here, contained within the pages of this Word of God. And finding out your relationship with Jesus Christ and what He is in your life and what He means to you, that's where joy is. That's where peace is. That's where your life changes. That's where the rubber meets the road right here. That's where everything in life begins to come into focus and everything in life begins to make sense. But until you find that plan, you find that purpose in life, and you begin to walk it. And if that purpose in life is being the best mother you can be, or the best father you can be, or the best grandfather you can be, or the best grandmother you can be, or the best friend you can be, whatever the purpose and plan is that that God has placed within you. And you know, most of the time, we miss it because the plan of God is sitting right slap dab in front of us, but we're looking for something else. I'm always amazed at how, coming from a ranching background, you can have a cow that's on 2,000 acres, but they'll crawl through the fence to eat in the bar ditch. There's grass everywhere. You know, he didn't have to go through that, but they'll do it every time. And so many times we Christians are like that. We're sticking our head through the fence, stretching out into the world because the world's placing something out in front of us that thinks that that's going to be our answer. And I want to tell you something. It's not your answer. I'm not that old, but I'm old enough to know. You know, I can almost say, like David, I've been young and now I'm old. I'm going to have to shave or something. Every time I see somebody that hadn't seen me in a while, they say, man, your goatee sure is getting gray. I'm like, well, I know, but you have to remind me. Why couldn't everybody, nobody's ever said to me yet, you know, since the last time I saw you, you look like you've gotten taller. But like David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've lived long enough in life. I've been down the road. I've been through the worst of times in my life, and now I'm wanting to live the best of the times of my life. And I can tell you that the worst of times, those places when I didn't know where I was going, was the worst. And it cost me a lot. And so we come to this Easter service today, and Christians all over the world are celebrating the resurrection. And sometimes we forget, we start to lose focus of what really this day means. You know, we celebrate it in different ways and do different things. And a lot of times we're together with family and whatever, and one thing can lead to the next. There'll be more family violence today than any other day of the year. I don't know if you know that. That's because everybody gets together to have a big party and they all get drunk and then get in a fight. And that ain't what we're supposed to be doing. But we lose sight, we lose focus of what this day's about. We lose focus that there's no need for you to even come to church if there was no resurrection. If Jesus was not risen from the grave, he had not risen up from the grave to never die again, then Christianity means nothing. You know, in the Hindu religion, they have over 3,000 gods, okay? And every one of those gods is about trying to help you to control yourself. But the bottom line is, I've already learned I can't control myself. Like if my wife brings home ice cream and I know what's in the fridge, it has to be eaten. I mean, I know y'all probably have more self-control than that, but not me. If I know what's there, it's got to be eaten, and the voice does not be quiet until it's gone. All right? And it's the same way. You can't do it on your own. And the world wants to do self-helps, and we're going to do this. But listen to me, we need help, but we don't need help from ourselves. We need resurrection power of God help in our lives. Amen? If you're like me, you need everything you can get. You need lightning bolts from heaven. Right? And this Christian faith that we have would be nothing more than another religion written out in a book that was a pie in the sky kind of thing. That was, oh, it's a good thought, and isn't that happy, and yes, love your neighbor, but you'd never have the power to love your neighbor if Jesus had not come back from the grave. Because without the power of God in our lives, I'm going to tell you something, it is not your nature, it is not human nature to love your neighbor who has been ugly to you. The Jewish people who had heard this for thousands of years that you should love your neighbor and do good and do to others as you'd have them do unto you, they got to where they decided they wrote another whole book called the Talmud to try to give them excuses of who to love and who not to love, because you could just figure out who your neighbor was by distance that you were from them. That's why when Jesus gave the story of the Good Samaritan, it was about saying, no, it's everybody you come in contact is your neighbor. And the Jews didn't want to hear that because they're like, well, I don't love old so-and-so and I don't want to do it. Because they're trying to live by their own strength, their own ability, their own power. And I don't know, folks, but, you know, I've been really stirred up. If you've heard my messages since the first of the year, I've been really stirred up about our, Washington and the things that are going on. And I know that one thing, I know that the president, God bless him, whatever his view is, listen, he is not going to produce my happiness. Washington, no matter what they're doing, is not going to produce my happiness. Because my happiness, my joy, my vision, my life comes from what Jesus says about my life. Because he has resurrection power. Everybody else is dealing with human wisdom. And human wisdom falls very short of what needs to be. Amen? Now, the good news is this morning, I want to show you here in John chapter 9 is about this resurrection power in our lives. I'm going to start reading here, John chapter 9, verse 1. It says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, I've always thought it was kind of interesting in some of the different religions, you know, that believe in resurrection. Not resurrection power, but they believe in reincarnation, okay? They're like, if you live your life and you do really bad, you might come back as a cockroach or something, you know? Now, that does put just a little bit of fear in you, right? I mean, nobody wants to be a cockroach. Or you could come back as like a kitchen table. Or a cabinet hinge. I mean, or you could come back as an eagle if you really lived well, but, you know, otherwise, you know, a doorknob. And the Jewish people were looking at this kind of the same way. They come by this man, he's born blind. And immediately the human thinking, the human revelation here is this guy's got to have done something wrong. Otherwise, he wouldn't be in that place. But let me tell you something. We live in a world today that you can do everything right and you still get in trouble. Listen to me. You can do everything right and still get in trouble. Because this world that we live in is not fair. We live in a world, and if you go back and you find out that when God created the heavens and the earth and all that ran in Genesis, that it wasn't until the third chapter that man and Adam and Eve had already got it all messed up. And that something came about on the face of this earth, the force that, you know, for a lack of better words, what is called the force of sin. And the force of sin came upon the face of the earth, and it began to get man to where man was caught in this trap. That even though he wanted to do right, he seemed to always do wrong. Have you ever, you know, we always say, you know, you put your foot in your mouth. But, you know, have you ever been trying to do it right? Husbands, you're trying to talk to your wife and you're on the edge of an argument. And so you're trying to make things better. And then you say something and it just went worse. It just turned and went south. Last night I was having a conversation with my lovely wife, beautiful bride of my youth. Innocent flower that brings sweet fragrance into my life. And we were talking about a light bulb in the house that hasn't been changed in, I don't know, we're going on about a month and a half now. And so she reminded me, and I said, you know, you got two legs and there's the ladder. You know, take off boot and insert foot, you know? Wrong thing. And you're trying to have this, you're trying to have this conversation, you know, and you're trying to do everything right, but because of the force of sin in life, you keep messing up. You see, no matter how much we try to do it on our own strength, that's what's wrong with anything that's trying to get you to be better so that you can fix it. Because I'm telling you what, we're still going to mess it up over and over again because of the force of sin within our lives is going to always cause us to stumble and always cause us to fail. So they're looking at this blind man and they're saying, man, who's sin? Somebody must have done something wrong. This guy wouldn't have been blind. And Jesus turns around and he says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. In other words, it wasn't, and some people try to take that out of text and say, well, God made the man blind. No, no, no. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying, look, nobody did anything. He's just living in a fallen world. There's some genetic defect. There's some kind of a problem that this guy was born blind. But because there's a problem, then there's a miracle. Because there's a problem here, God's got a miracle. God's got something to fix it. God's got an answer. He's got a miracle. Yeah, he's blind, but you want to see the works of God move? That's what it comes in here. Every time in your life, listen to me, church. Every time in life you mess up, you're a candidate for a miracle. Every time in life you think that, oh my God, how did I get myself into this horrible of a situation? You're a candidate for a miracle. You've come up on the miracle list in heaven, if there is such a thing. The revolving miracle list that this comes up. I don't know why when I'm saying that the thought comes to me. Remember the old hand towels that used to be in the bathrooms you kept pulling down? It's supposed to keep coming out. That always bothered me. I kept thinking, it's just going around in there and dries off and comes back out. You know what I mean? That ain't good. But I mean, if there is the revolving, you know, miracle list is coming down from heaven, your name's on it. And when you're in trouble, Jesus said, listen, I didn't come to this world to save those that were all right. I came to the world to save those that are in trouble, those that were messed up. The ones that are all goofy and warped and twisted and we can't do it right. We keep messing up. He said, I came to bring them resurrection power. I came down here and died and was resurrected. I defeated death, hell, and the grave so you could walk in victory. So if today your life's in shambles, today you're in a bad spot, I want you to know you're a candidate for a miracle. He goes on and said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for the night is coming and no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Jesus said, as long as I'm in this world, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. Listen to me. Jesus is the only person that can flip on the switch in your life so that you can see straight. This week, I was grieved beyond anything that I've ever been grieved at over listening to President Obama say that America is no longer a Christian nation. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. The minute that's taken out, then nobody's going to find the switch anymore. There's only one light switch that can be turned on. That light switch is Jesus. The only thing that's ever going to save this world and get us out of the problem is a relationship with Jesus. And it may take some radical revolution to come about, but it's the hearts of people that seek Jesus, that find him, that's going to change this world, that's going to set things right, that's going to bring order and sense to everything that's going on, because he's the only one that can flip on the switch in our lives. Nothing else will. And the moment you get in a place where they're trying to take Jesus out of it, listen to me, you need to run. You need to run because he's the only one that can make sense to it. He's the only one that's going to love you no matter that you may seem unlovable. He's the only one that's going to have an answer when no one else has an answer, because he's only the one that can part the Red Seas. He's the only one that can move mountains. He's the only one that can make a way where there seems to be no way. When you're in the middle of a desert, in the middle of a wilderness, and there is no water, he's the only one that can make a pool of water in the middle of it. God's specialty is taking messes and making it right. That's his specialty. His specialty. Look through the Bible. The people he picked. Moses was a murderer. It's hard to believe. He killed an Egyptian. The Apostle Paul says, I sat there and held the clothes of everybody that threw rocks and murdered Stephen. I took joy of going from town to town, persecuting Christians and dragging them off and dragging families away and children away and persecuting the church. I did that. See, God loves when you are messed up in life and you don't know, come here from Sikkim. You don't know which end's up. He loves to then step into your life because you've invited him. If you think you're going to get yourself all cleaned up, you think you're going to get it all lined out, you think you're going to get yourself all lined out to just, you know, to where you're really good and acceptable in God's eyes, and then he's going to accept you, you're wrong. You'll never make it. And never make it. You'll live your life in a trap, run around chasing your tail. About the time you think you've got it all lined up, well, then you'll slip and fall somewhere else. It's never the answer. Never the hope. Jesus said, I'm the light of this world. I'm the only one that can flip on the switch. I'm the only one that can bring light into the darkness of your life. I'm the only one that can show you a way out. The only one that can show you a way out. Story goes on, verse 6. He says, and when he said these things, he spit on the ground. Everybody say he spit on the ground. Kind of a strange thing for a sweet religious man, the Lamb of God, to do. He spit on the ground. He made clay with the saliva. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with that clay. I'm not trying to be gross here, but it takes a lot of spit to make enough saliva and clay to stick it on somebody's eyes. Am I right? I mean, you know, go try it this afternoon. The story's always amazed me because here's this poor blind man. He's been blind from birth. He's never seen people. He's been in darkness all of his life. He's never seen people. He's never seen food. He's tasted food, but he's never seen food. He's never seen a dog. He's never seen a cat. He's never seen a camel, never seen a horse, never seen his mother's face. He's been in darkness and in another world all of his life. And some of you have lived in the same place, in darkness and in another world all of your life. And you've tasted some of the things that everybody else sees, but you've never really seen it because you've lived in darkness. And the devil has kept you captive in darkness. And then Jesus comes in there and he starts spitting on the ground. I don't know if he spit quietly or he spit loudly. But if I was a blind man listening, because most blind people have very good sense of hearing, and I was hearing somebody going, I might grow kind of nervous and say, excuse me, what is he doing? You can't see. You don't know. And then, you know, of course, one of the blind guy's friends would have said to him, well, I don't really know, but he's spitting like rather a lot on the ground. And, you know, I don't know what he's doing. And then the next thing you know, you feel something stuck on your eyes. Now, listen to me. A lot of people go through life and they never receive the benefits of truly being Christians. They walk through a lot of things in life and they never see any miracles, they never see any victory, they never see any prayers answered, they never really see anything going on. They just kind of stay in a meek, mild world and they don't see much happen. And the reason why they don't is because they're never willing to step out of the box into the uncomfortable zone. Most of us in life do not like to be uncomfortable. And I hate to tell you, as long as you live in your comfort zone and keep God in his little box, and you only worship God a certain way, or you only will do a certain thing, or you'll never, you know, stretch yourself in your relationship with Jesus. You'll never, I'm not talking about doing something crazy or off the wall. I'm talking about if you'll never pray out loud, you'll never sit up and read with your wife the Bible because you don't want to seem foolish. You'll never pray with your children. You'll never lay hands on your children when they're sick and pray over them. You'll never stretch yourself in life to walk in the things of the Scriptures because you're trying to keep yourself in the comfort zone. I want to tell you something. You'll miss the miracles that God has for your life. Because God does things that are not normal to the Christian's eyes or the person's eyes. God has always been that way. He's always done it that way. And sometimes in life, God wants you to get out of your comfort zone. He wants to break you out of that comfort zone. He wants to get you to step out and stretch so he can breathe a breath of life in you. Because when you're out of your comfort zone, you're vulnerable. And when you're vulnerable, you're looking for someone to get hold of. I never knew this because this didn't happen to me, but it was brought to my attention. And no, don't anybody get offended about this. This is statistics, okay? I didn't make this up. Statistics. That most men in a situation, when they're standing there with their wife and the baby, will hold the baby because it gives them something, some protection. It's comfort. I got the baby, don't mess with me. Where otherwise they'd be vulnerable. So they hold the kid. So they can play with the baby and they don't have to be engaged with anybody else. It's like, okay, here I am. Don't come across my zone. Now, I never did that. I was like, you know, here, she can keep the kids and, you know, whatever. I mean, I was the terrible father. But what I'm saying is, it's when you get in those unfamiliar zones, when you start to become vulnerable and you turn to Jesus, as your helper, you turn to Jesus and to give you the comfort, that's when the miracles happen in your life. He wants you in those uncomfortable places. He wants you out of your box, out of your familiar zones. He wants you there because then you're dependent upon him and he can rush and flood into your life. But see, when we hold back, we're like, oh Lord, yeah, come here, come on, Jesus, you know, let's just Lord, just right here, just touch me right here, okay? And the Lord said, no, step on out of here. Get on out on the water. Why did the disciples all in the boat and only Peter got out and walked on the water? What did everybody else sit there and do? I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us. It's one of the DVDs I want to see when I get to heaven or whatever we're on those channels. I want to see that because what was everybody else doing? Did anybody else that's not written in the Bible attempt to get out and the water was, you know, soft or whatever? And they jump back in the boat and say, I don't know how he's doing it. I mean, I don't know what happened. Did everybody else just sit there with their mouth open saying, golly, he's walking on the water. I mean, I don't know. But Peter had to do something uncomfortable before he saw a miracle. And some of you are trying to live in your comfort zone so much and try to make this whole world to where you're in comfort. And listen to me, you're missing God. You're missing that resurrection power of Jesus coming flooding into your life and setting you free and just coming in there and just totally turning your world upside down and bringing you victory and joy. The blind man goes on and he says to him in verse 7, so he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, good idea, right? You got spit mud in your face. You know, something I noticed yesterday, I was looking up this pool, the pool of Siloam, and it's still there in Jerusalem today. It's in the old city, and it's outside the wall, but it's still there, and you could see it. You go on the internet, you can find it. It shows you a picture of it. And the first thing I noticed is it's a pool. There was a lower pool that was fed by aqueducts, and the water came down there, and then they had cut into the stone like steps going up, like benches, like, you know, long, like you would have in a stadium. And they were cut out, then there was the next one and a cut out. I thought, what did this blind dude do when he got to the pool and he has to walk down all these steps to get to the water? He's got spit mud all over his face. Don't you know his mind was going crazy? He was thinking, I can't believe this dude spit in my face. Everybody was saying to him, oh man, dude, you're gross. Come on, we got to get you washed off of me. You got spit mud in your face. And then he's walking along and everybody's looking and saying, what is this guy? What's wrong with him? You know, thank goodness he was blind. He couldn't see the reactions of the people saying, oh man. I mean, what would you do if you're walking down the street and you see some dude with mud all over his face when his eyes walking down? You'd say, what is up with this guy, right? And then he goes to this pool, and it's just like real peaceful, serene, nice little place. Everybody's down at the pool of water. Here he comes, you know, to wash his face off. And I don't know, but I can imagine what was going through his mind. Because I know that God has spoken to me about things before in life, and my mind gets crazy and running around and all the things that I'm thinking. And, oh, man, well, gosh, oh, what about this and what about that? What about my mind's running crazy? I can just imagine his mind was running crazy the whole time he's going down there. And more than likely, the thought in his mind was, this better work. And he goes down and he washes and he can see. Now, you got to understand something about this blind guy. He had never seen. He was blind from birth. He had never seen people, never seen trees, never seen birds, never seen the dirt. Can you imagine what was this new world he was in? In some ways, it may have been fearful. Never seen the sun. You know, it's hard to imagine that he'd never seen people. You know, he turns and looks at the person and says, ooh. But he could see. But the Bible says he was overjoyed, and he was excitement was in him. He starts going around, then everybody starts looking and say, "Hey man, isn't that blind guy? Isn't that the blind guy? And then somebody say, well, he's definitely not blind now, so it must not be him. It must be somebody that looks like him. I said, no, that's the blind guy. The blind guy sits down at the corner all the time with his cup and pencil set on him or whatever, you know? I mean, he was always at the same place begging. He was always, that's how he made his living, begging. They knew him. So that's the blind guy. I said, no, that's not the blind guy. Looks like the blind guy. So he goes and the Pharisees say, what are you talking about? Hey, you're the blind guy? Yeah, I'm the blind guy. I can see now. Let me show you this. Look at verse 13. So they bring him to the Pharisees. And he says they brought him who formerly was blind. Now he has a new name. His new name, he's not the blind guy. He's the formerly blind guy. I remember when I first got saved. Everybody in town couldn't believe that I was saved. Because I was the wild guy. I wasn't the blind guy, I was the wild guy. And all of a sudden I was still the wild guy, but I was not the same wild guy. But I was a different kind of wild guy. And everybody would talk about it and say, Robert Richards, Richard, to this day it still happens. I run across people and say, you are a preacher? Oh my God. What kind of, the next word out of their mouth is, what kind of a church? Because they say, how could you beer drinking, cowboy fighting, cussing, how could you? You couldn't be a preacher. And I'm like, no, that was the old guy. That guy died. I got the resurrection power on the inside of me. Now I'm this new guy. I'm the former. I'm formerly the blind guy. That's who I am. So this guy got his new name, the formerly blind guy. So he goes in there and the people were mad at him. The Pharisees were mad, not that a miracle taken place. They were mad because Jesus did a miracle on Sunday. And you're not supposed to do, according to Jewish tradition, work on Sunday. And so that was work in their eyes. And so they're mad. Hello, how stupid can you be? How could the whole world see the guys now sing and they're mad because he got healed on a Sunday? Talk about somebody needing to be slapped. But in the world today, it's that blind, folks. We've got people that are that blind. They're seeing with their eyes, but they're so warped in their thinking, so twisted in their thinking, that even though people are being healed and miracles are taking place and things are going wrong and things are bad, they still say, oh, no, this is the way it ought to be. Because they're twisted in their head. And I'm always so amazed. I'm just like, how can you be so warped? But just like those Pharisees were, the guy. So they bring in his parents. If you go read on down there, they bring in his parents. He says, is this your son? They said, yeah, it's our son. He says, is this a guy that's blind? He's born blind from birth. It's him. That's really him. Yeah, that's him. You sure it's him? Yes, it's my son. Well, how did he get his eyes and see? And so they were scared of the Pharisees because they didn't want to come against the system. And they said, I don't know. Ask him. Said, I don't know, ask him, because they don't want to get in trouble. All we're telling you, he said, that's our son, and he was born blind, and now he can see. So ask him how he got healed. So they go on down here, and if you look on down a few more verses, and you get down to verse 25, they keep pressuring this poor old blind guy, the formerly blind guy, and they keep pressuring him, and finally he answers and says, listen, whether this man, let me back up just a second, Verse 23. The parents said, he is of age, ask him. And again, the man who was blind said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. They're talking about Jesus. They're saying, look, all men are trapped under the wages of sin. The Pharisees knew that all men were trapped under the wages of sin and that no man could be free from sin. I'm trying to get back to my sin issue. And he answered and said, look, whether this man is a sinner, I don't know. So he's like, I don't know about Jesus' life. I'm not out there messing with him. All I know is, one thing I know, is that though I was blind, now I see. He's like, look, I don't know. You're talking about judging this guy if he's a sinner or not. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, I was blind and now I see. Sometimes in my life, people want to question about you know, whatever, the church and the operation of the church or how we do things. When I said, I'm like this blind man, the formerly blind man. I'm just like, I don't know. I just know Jesus works. I just know we do praise and worship. I know we worship him. I know we love God. I know God shows up. I know we preach the word. I know we do this and I know we do that. And God works and it seems to work. And I don't know. I don't know how it works. I just do it. That's one thing I'm glad in my mind that I can be simple. I can just be a simple country boy, a naive country boy, and say, I don't know, I just preach Jesus and people get saved. I don't know how it works. I just know if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, Jesus will come into your life. I don't know how it works. I don't care to know how it works. I don't have to have the science behind how it works. I just know it works. I just know that I was blind and now I see. I just know that I was lost and now I'm found. I know that I didn't know Jesus and now I do. I can't explain it. I just know I fell on my knees one day and cried out and said, Jesus, if you're really real, I want to know you. Because I was in the worst place of my life. And right there, out of those words and that faith in my heart, boom, the power of God hit me. That same resurrection power that knocked Jesus out of the grave, knocked me out of my boots, and God saved me. Say, well, how does that work? I have no idea. I just know when you turn your faith and your heart onto Jesus, he's going to come into your life if you'll let him. I just know if you'll become vulnerable and ask him, he'll be there. I just know if you'll let down your pride, let down your guard, and let down your walls and your put your cannons down and everything that's keeping in, tear down some of those block walls and let God just come into your life, he will. I know that if you'll finally just admit that you're a sinner and you got to have somebody to save you, you got to have some grace that you're not going to get it done on your own, God comes into your life. I can't explain it. I don't know the science behind it. I just know I was blind and now I see. I know I was lost and I got found. Woo-hoo! That's just what I've been happy about for the last 20 years. I've seen so many people get wrapped up in trying to get it all figured out, trying to get the science behind it, trying to get all the understanding behind it. You can't figure it out. You just got to believe. Well, I can't accept that. Well, you're going to miss it. Somebody's got to spit in your face. They got to go get it washed off. You got to do something a little freaky in life. Something's just got to come in and happen to you. Otherwise, you're just going to be sitting there selling pencils all your life and be blind. The blind man says, the formerly blind man says, I was blind, but now I see. So they go on and they keep asking him all these questions and they keep asking him because they can't believe that Jesus doesn't follow the same category as all men. They have the revelation that all of us are trapped. All of us are trapped under the wages of sin. I don't care who we are. All of us are trapped under the wages of sin. They have that revelation. And they're saying, nobody can free us, but I'm here today to tell you that one did. I'm here today to tell you that one freed us from that bondage and that trap of sin. There was one, his name was Jesus. And they tried to kill him. They tried to get rid of him. They nailed him to a cross, but you can't nail God to a cross. And it was literally the love of God that was within Christ that was that said at that last moment, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It was that love of God that was in Christ that was compelling the whole world that said, don't worry, it's not over with yet. They hadn't killed me because I'm coming back from the grave. It was the whole love of God that was in Christ that said, man, there's going to be people in 2009 on Easter Sunday morning, sitting in Living Waters Church. And they're going to need me. And it was the love of God that compelled Jesus. And no, we got, death can't have a hold on him. Death can't stop him. We got to get him out of there. And the power of the resurrection, power of God, raised Jesus from the dead. Now listen to me, church. There had been people in the Bible that had come back from the dead. Listen to me. Don't get this confused. There had been people in the Bible that had died and came back from death. But you know what? They died another day. Jesus came back from the grave to never die again. That's resurrection power. That's the power that sets us free because it is eternal. It's always there. It's always there to just come into your life whenever you need it. It's never short. It never stops. It never goes away and then comes through like a wind and say, oh, it's here today. No. It's always there. That same resurrection power is always there for your life. Wherever you are, whatever you need, it's always there. When you think you got it all straight and lined out and you're doing pretty good in life, and then all of a sudden you have a bobble on the road, he was already there before you even had the bobble. He's already there before you had the bobble. To then just get you in and get you resurrected, to get you flowing in life, to get you back going in the things of God, to get you back going and walking in victory. Amen. Look at the person beside you and say, man, that's good news. Look back at that person and say, no, that's really good news. I want to finish this. Go down to 35, verse 35. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and they found him. And he said to them, do you believe in the Son of God? Isn't it interesting that Jesus didn't just leave? Isn't it interesting that Jesus didn't just leave? He didn't just say, okay, well, the blind man, you know, the formerly blind man is okay now. The Pharisees are giving some problem. He'll be okay. Yeah, he'll be all right. And take his disciples and just go on. He stayed around. He stayed around. He was waiting for this moment. And he goes up to the blind man. And he says, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who's talking with you. And then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. In other words, he said, look, I came into this world to drive a stake in the ground, to put a point, a place, a marker. I came in here to put a marker on this earth. And that marker simply saying that everybody who believes in me and crosses to this side of the line, they get the switch turned on. They get life. They get victory. They get everything that they need. Everybody that stays on that side of the line that doesn't believe in me, that I'm the Son of God, everybody that comes onto that side of the line and doesn't believe that I'm the Son of God, well, then they're going to become blind. The longer you walk in sin, the blinder you become. The longer you walk in sin, the blinder you become. So if you keep walking in unforgiveness, you're going to make yourself blinder and blinder and blinder. Before long, nothing will bother you. If you keep walking in rebellion, you're going to end up at some place in your life that you just get more blind and more blind. And then what? Then all of a sudden you'll think, isn't that funny? Because that used to bother me, now it doesn't. But Jesus drove the stake in the ground. He drove the mark in the ground. He declared all of that by simply stating, by the resurrection, I am the Son of God. You see, church, this morning I really want to make a point here. I want you to catch, because there's a lot of deception going on in the world. In the Muslim world, they believe that Muhammad, that one day Jesus, they believe that Jesus is coming back. Listen to me. They believe Jesus is coming back. But they also believe that the power is going to hit the bones of Muhammad, and Muhammad's going to be resurrected. Listen to me. Jesus made a show and an evidence that he was resurrected from the dead to never die again. And the Bible says he's coming back, but when he comes back, he's not coming back as the loving Savior. He's coming back as the commander of the army of the host of Israel, or of heaven. He's coming back as King Jesus, ruler of this earth. You follow me? We're not waiting for a resurrection. The resurrection's already happened. And the resurrection power gets turned on in your life when you, like this formerly blind man, believe that Jesus Christ, listen, is the Son of God. There's no debate in the world today that Jesus was a real person. It's documented. It's history that Jesus was a man. There's no debate about that. There's no debate that they crucified him, that the Romans crucified Jesus on the cross. There's no debate about that. But the debate comes in when you start to talk about the resurrection, what we're celebrating today. Because if you don't believe in the resurrection, then you're saying you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And if you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you have no place for salvation in your life. You have no place for power in your life. You have no place for victory in your life. You're just living a life trying to go to church and do good, and I'm telling you, there's no hope in that. But we're here today to celebrate that Jesus is the resurrected Son of God. And it's through the profession of faith of us believing that within our hearts and confessing it with our mouth that the power comes into us and changes our life. You say, Pastor, how's it happen? I don't know. I just know it does. I just know that whatever you're going through, you could be a Christian. You've already made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. You've already been walking as a Christian for years and be in the middle of a real mix-up and a real mess in your life. I'm telling you, if you need the resurrection power in your life, right then, it's the same process. You call upon him, you believe in him, and he comes down in your life. It's not once you got saved to then live your life on your own power and strength to then you die and go to heaven. That's not the plan. The plan is for the resurrection power in your life every day, every moment, every second of your life. For whatever situation may be facing you. Amen. Look at the person beside you and say, that's good news. Now I want you to do something with me, church. I want you to stand up if you would, please. I want you just to put your Bibles away and just stand there for just a minute. Laura, can you come up here and play? I cannot dismiss this service without giving you an opportunity today. That wherever you are in life, to have that resurrection power come into your life and to invade your life and to bless you. And if you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you've never done what this formerly blind man said, Lord, who is the Son of God that I can believe on him? And you've never released your faith and believed in Jesus that he was the Son of God, that he came and died for you. You've never really believed that. Well, I want to give you an opportunity today that you can make that determination, that you can be like the blind man going to the pool to wash, that today you can say, Lord, I want to see you. And what I want to ask you to do is everybody just take a moment, just bow your heads and give some reverence to the people around you. And I want to ask you to search your heart, looking out on the inside of you. And if you're in here and you've never made that decision, you're not sure that if you died today, you'd even go to heaven. You don't know where your relationship is. But you want to make that decision today to make Jesus the Lord of your life, the Savior. You believe He's the Son of God. Well, then I want to ask you just to raise your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, that's me. Today, I'm making that decision for Jesus in my life. Just lift up your hand and then you can put it back down. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else today, you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life? I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Church, I want everyone, I want y'all to pray this with me. Those of you that lifted your hand especially, but pray this with me. Say, Jesus, today I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you arose from the dead to give me eternal life. Forgive me of my sins and let your resurrection power come into my life. Thank you, Jesus. Now, church, I have another prayer I want to pray with you. Because I believe there's some of you in here this morning that you really needed some resurrection power in your life. You may be in a hard place in life right now, and you need God to come into your life in a powerful way. And I want to pray for you. And if this prayer is speaking to you, then grab hold of it by faith. Just right there at your chair and let in your heart, you open up your heart. You become vulnerable. You let God come in right now as I pray this prayer. Father, I pray this morning for people that are in troubled places, that are in dark places in their life, and they need resurrection power in their life. I pray, oh Heavenly Father, right now that you would come into their life and that just like that Sunday morning, Lord, that resurrection power hit your body and blew you out of that grave. I declare right now that that resurrection power comes into their life and knocks them right out of the darkness of their life and knocks them right out of the death and the grave of their life and brings them victory. Lord, right where they're at, as they open up their hearts to you this morning, I thank you, Lord, that you just begin to invade their lives in every point, in every place of their lives. God, you just invade it. You invade it. And Jesus, I thank you for all that you did for us. All that you did for us, oh God. And we stand here this morning and we thank you for your resurrection power. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the Son of God. That you died for us, but you arose from the grave for us too. To give us life everlasting. So, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Now, one more thing. Let me have my prayer team, my pastoral team come down. You're probably going to leave here and you're probably going to go home and eat too much, and that's okay. I'll let you off on that one. Because I probably will too. But you're probably going to go be with family. And I ask you today, when you're sitting around the table and you're with family, find out where they are with Jesus. Be bold today. If you're with families and members and somebody's going through a hard time and maybe they already are a Christian, then reach over there and take their hand and pray with them. Believe God for the power of God to come into their lives and to change them and to bless them. Be bold in your prayers. Be bold with your Christian walk. Don't let this world or anything intimidate you and put you down. But be a blessing. Amen. Now, if you're here and after I want to pray a dismissal prayer over you and you want some more prayer, well, we're here for you up front. Those of you that raised your hand and made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life for the first time, I'd like to visit with you down up here. If you want to come and stand for service, I just want to visit with you for a minute. But take the hand of the person beside you. And I'm going to pray and just believe God to just bless you as you go today. Father, we thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we ask you right now to just bless them, to seal this message within our hearts, to speak to them today. And that when they're with family, Lord, that your presence will just be there shining upon each and every person. And Lord, that your goodness and your mercy would flow like a river. Just flow like a river. So Lord, we give you all the praise today. We give you all the glory today. And again, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for your resurrection power in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. Have a great day today.